If you have your Bibles today, open up to the book of Matthew. Today we'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. We'll be looking at verses 16 through 20 of Matthew, chapter 28 today. And the title of our message is, Let's Talk About Jesus. Let's Talk About Jesus. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Let's talk about Jesus. Here's what God's Word says. It says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us today, Lord. It's great to feel the Spirit in the house of God, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the people gathering here to come to meet with you, Lord, and to talk with you today, Lord. God, I pray that you touch every person in our congregation in a special way today, Lord, that just opens their heart, Lord, to flood them with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much for the great things that you've done this week, Lord. Bringing Kim through that surgery, what a blessing, Lord. 10 hours of surgery, God, and you brought her through it, Lord. We just praise your holy name for that, Lord. God, we thank you for the new job that Brother Bill has and the new job that Brother Mike has, Lord. God, we just praise you for the beautiful flowers and the beautiful trees and the changing things outside, Lord. You've just been so good to us, God. We just praise you and praise you and praise you, Lord. God, as we get ready to go out this week, Lord, to proclaim your name and live the life that you've blessed us with, Lord, help us to be the light of this world, Lord, in such a dark time. Help us to bring joy into people's life and help them to see a difference in us. Help them to see you living within us. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, but thank you most for giving your life, for dying on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved, so that we could go to heaven to a place even more beautiful than what we have today, God, and be in your presence forever. Thank you, Lord, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So how many people in our congregation today need Jesus? Does anybody need Jesus? Let me see your hands if you need Jesus. Amen. I need Jesus every single day. I mean, I need him for salvation. I need Jesus for my strength. I need him for guidance. I need him to know where am I going? What am I doing? I need Jesus for leadership. And you know what I appreciate most about Jesus is his unconditional love for us. You see, sometimes I make mistakes. Anybody else make mistakes? Yeah, anybody else get in trouble? Yeah. Well, you make mistakes and get away with it, Thomas. Praise the Lord. Congratulations on that. I'm not so good at that. If I make a mistake, I hear about it. And I'm married to a woman, a lovely woman. But let me tell you, if you make a mistake to a woman, and you may be able to vouch for this too, Bob, you know what I'm talking about. Looks like you've been married for a little while. Sometimes what takes place is their memory may forget many things, but it doesn't forget certain things. Amen?
Amen.
They can remember some things forever. And you know, God can remember things forever, but he says your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord for that. So once my wife learns, praise the Lord. I'm glad God forgives us that way. What a blessing. So I'm thankful for that. But you know, I need Jesus for a million reasons. I couldn't even name all the reasons of why I need Jesus in my life. One of those is going to be to save me from my wife after the service. But if you need Jesus and I need Jesus, don't you think there's other people in the world that need Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. I believe so too. And what we're talking about today, it's not new material. It's not different material. You know why? Because the Bible doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the stuff we're talking about isn't new today, but it's something that God put on my heart that he wants us to be reminded of. And so what we're talking about today is critical. It's important. It's crucial for our families. It's critically important for our communities. And if you want to have a successful job and a great life, it's important for that too. So what is it that we're talking about today? What we're talking about today is witnessing. We're talking about being bold for Christ. We're talking about sharing the love of Jesus with other people. We're talking about getting out and being that light that God has called us to be. You see, it's easy to sit here in these pews and raise your hand and worship the Lord. But when you get outside in that world, it's a little more tough, isn't it?
And we have to be bold for Christ. I don't know if you've noticed, but the world is changing. It's changing. You see, it's easy for us as Christians or just as human beings to sit back and complain about what's happening in the world. And we do it. If you're honest with me today, would you raise your hand if you're one of those people that complains about what's going on in the world today? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thank you for being honest. But it's easy for us to sit down and complain about things when we see all these shootings taking place. When we see all these wrongdoings, when we see all these scandals. You know, it's easy to talk bad about politicians. It's easy to talk bad about your managers at work or even the leaders in our community. But as Christians, we're not supposed to do that. No, we're not supposed to become part of that darkness. We're not to give in to sin or temptation. We're not supposed to be complaining, gossiping, talking about people. What we're called to do is to live in the world, but not be of the world. Right? We're called to make a difference. And you say, well, Pastor, it's kind of hard to make a difference when we live in a world like that. You feel like you're beat down, like you want to give up. I know, I live in the same world. But then I look back at the wonderful book that God has given me, and he says, Alan, you're a Christian. Your job is to make a difference, just like I made a difference. So you may be thinking this morning, well, Pastor, how can we make a difference? How can we make a difference? What is there, about 50 of us in here today? There's just a few of us. How can we change the world? Wouldn't that require an army? Well, I disagree. I don't think we need an army to change the world. I think that through Christ, we can completely change the world, just the people that are in here today. And you ask me, well, why? Why do you think that, Pastor? Well, because there was a man with 12 disciples that changed the world. Man with just 12 disciples. Do we have more than 12 people in here today? Do we have more than 12 people here that are willing to follow Christ today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Then we got plenty of room. These disciples were a lot like us. You look and you say, well, I don't know. They were walking with Jesus. Yeah, well, we have the Holy Spirit. We have a piece of God living inside of us. Right? So how is that different? So they were walking with Jesus. We have part of the Lord living inside of us. They were also similar because they had a lot of jobs like we have jobs. They had common jobs, right? Now, back then, the jobs were a little different than they are today, some of them. But they were still common jobs. Many of them were a tax collector or fishermen, or they owned their own business. Some were tent makers. But they all worked with their hands. They went out, they earned a living, right? Just like we do. Some of them were nervous about talking in front of people. Anybody else have that fear? Getting up and talking in front of people? Sure. So sometimes we deal with that. They dealt with that. But also, like us, they had a dedication to the Lord where they trusted God. They believed in God. And through that, their faith persevered. They were able to see miracles and things that you may never see in your life if you didn't believe in God. You know, it blows my mind, and I'm so thankful, but it blows my mind about how God creates babies. We were talking about some strange things. You know, Ariel's pregnant, and so we're talking about strange things with babies. And Shannon said, you know what blows my mind is that God chose to create this little thing, this embryo, these cells inside, and grow it within another human being until it was ready to live on its own. And I don't know if you ever really thought about that, but especially being a man, that's hard to understand. You know, the man does something. He has a part in it. The lady has a part in it, a lot bigger maybe than the man's. But the lady has a part in it. And then God takes this beautiful action, and he creates a growing human life inside of another person that you have the blessing of giving birth to and bringing another baby into the world. Man, God is good. I don't understand how he works, but I love the way he works. So seeing miracles, these disciples, they saw miracles. I believe the birth of a baby is a miracle. And if these few men could change the world through the power of Christ, then I believe us men and women today can change the world through Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm excited about doing this because the Lord is going to use us, the Sunrise Free Will Baptist Church, to begin changing the world. You think about that. What have you done in your job that has changed the world? Nothing, if you're like me, probably. I mean, I'm just being honest, right? I work for a software company, and I like working for them, but what do? Well, I help people make more money. And maybe I help people drive more optimized routes. I don't know. But if I change the world,
You get your packages on time from some companies, and people spray your bugs on time. You enjoy your cable. So I don't know.
But as a Christian, we can help change the world. I mean, what can you equate in your life to helping be part of somebody else's life of giving themselves to the Lord and being able to live into heaven forever? You see, whatever I do on the face of this earth is only going to last for a short time with my job. But as a Christian, the things I do in this world could change people's life for eternity. Man, that's powerful. So if we look back at Matthew chapter 28, I want to talk kind of about the whole section of scripture there. I mean, the beginning of Matthew 28 is amazing. Absolutely amazing if you think about it. The beginning in verse 1, we see Mary Magdalene and Mary going out to visit the tomb. Where just a few days ago, remember, Jesus was hanging on that cross. He was crucified for our sins. And now he's brought into this tomb. And so Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they're going out there to visit the tomb. And what a sombering moment that is. Have you ever visited somebody who has passed away and go visit kind of their headstone? That's kind of a sombering moment a lot of times, isn't it? I remember when we first got my dad's headstone. And I went out there and I just looked at it. And I imagined my dad. I thought, man, what would I give to be able to give him one more hug to hear his voice one more time? Amen. You know? But then I thought, would I want to bring him back to the world that we have now compared to where he is in heaven? Absolutely not. And so these ladies, this wasn't an exciting adventure. They weren't super happy, I can't imagine, about going to see the tomb of Jesus. But they wanted to pay respects. They loved their Lord and Savior. And so they went out and they're walking over there. And as they walk over there, one of the greatest miracles of Christ, I believe, took place. This huge earthquake comes, right? An angel of the Lord comes down from heaven. That's pretty fantastic. And then rolls aside the stone and sits on it. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I mean, just think about what I just said. They're walking, sad, to the tomb. Boom! An earthquake happens. The angel of the Lord appears, rolls this rock aside, and he's sitting on it. Hey, how's it going? And the soldiers, you know what they do? Well, according to Scripture, they faint. That's probably what I would have done too. And so, but they're still awestruck. They're sitting there kind of awestruck, you know? And so the angel speaks to these women. He says, hey, don't be afraid. Sure, put yourself in my shoes for a minute. Don't be afraid. And when you see what I just saw, tell me how not to be afraid, right? And a lot of the angels, they announce themselves like that. Fear not! What are you talking about? Look at how you just made your entrance. That's pretty scary, you know? But so there's this angel sitting on this boulder that just rolls it away, and he looks at those ladies. He's like, hey, don't worry about it. Fear not, it's going to be okay. That Jesus you're looking for, he's not here. He's risen from the dead just like he said he would. So the girls went, they looked in the tomb. And sure enough, guess what, Brother Bill?
It was empty.
Jesus wasn't there. He was gone. And the angel told him, he said, hey, go tell the disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he's gone. Go tell those disciples to meet him in Galilee. Can you think about for a minute what those ladies must have been thinking? They're mourning, going to see this tomb, and the next thing you know, angel shows up, rolling boulders out of the way, soldiers fainting, him saying, hey, don't worry, ladies, it's going to be okay. Jesus is rose from the dead. Well, he told us about that, but really? Is he really? He's not there. Yeah, go to Galilee. Tell the disciples, go to Galilee. He'll meet them there. They went through a lot. That's a pretty traumatic experience. And so they're walking to go tell the disciples that, hey, we need to go to Galilee to be able to find Jesus. And as they're walking to go tell the disciples, Jesus appears to them. Mind-blowing. And so they get to worship Jesus, talk to him for a few minutes, and then they go get the disciples, and then they all meet up together in Galilee. And the first recorded thing in the book of Matthew that Jesus says in the Gospels is this. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Well, I think he proved that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Think about this for a minute. The most important thing Jesus had to say right after he raised from the dead was this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Then he gave them comfort by saying, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a Savior. I mean, think about it. He was in the tomb, dead. Rose from the dead. Met these people. And the first thing he wanted to tell them is, hey, you need to tell people about me so they can come to heaven with me. That was the most important thing. You know, that same thing is what brought him to come down here and lay down his life for us. He wants to see people saved. That's someone who loves his people. We call ourselves Christians, but do you love people that much? Do you love people enough to tell them the truth about who Jesus is? Oftentimes, I look at myself and I ask myself that same question. People come to me for help. They probably come to you for help at work, at the church, people you see on the side of the street, whatever. And you say, how can I help them? And typically, you meet their immediate need. They need a meal, you buy them a meal. They need some advice, you give them some advice. They need a hug, you give them a hug. But do you tell them about Jesus, the only one who can really fix their problems? Because otherwise, they're just solving their quick problem, but they really have a bigger problem. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they're already a Christian. They just need some encouragement. But this Jesus, a Savior who loves his people so much, first thing that's on his mind is for people to come to know him so they can be with him forever in heaven. The first thing is he tells these disciples is what Jesus is calling us to do today. To teach them, baptize them, and love them. The question I have for you this morning, or rather the question God really has for you is, how are you doing that? How good have you been doing sharing your faith with others? Teaching people about Jesus. Witnessing to the outer ends of the earth. And I know, sometimes hearing God's word put to you like that, it's like stepping on your toes. But it's true. It's true. The greatest reason Jesus came down here to earth was to teach us, to live among us, to pay the price for our sins, to show us that he loved us. So the people could be saved. Do we think about that as the most important thing in our life today? Probably not. It depends on the day, probably. Some days the most important thing is paying your bill before your water gets shut off. Some days the most important thing is making sure you get up on time so you can show up at work on time. But the most important thing for Jesus was for people to know and love him. He wanted people to be able to have their sins forgiven, to be able to have the gift of eternal life. And so if we're helping people with other things, but we're not truly telling them about who can help them with the important things, we're kind of missing out on the boat. Church, we got to get after it. It's time that we go about the Lord's business. We can't just sit and wait idly any longer. The world's getting worse by the minute. Do you see what happened in the last 3 days? Let me tell you. 3 days ago, there was a white man with a bad history of violence. He wanted to go get into a black church and start shooting up people. When he couldn't get into the church, he went outside a Kroger and shot 2 African Americans and walked outside. For no reason. Didn't even know him. Then there's this person, this guy, sending bombs around to all these people that are Democrats. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. What is it going to solve sending bombs to people? What is wrong with this world? And then you have a man. Goes into a Jewish synagogue. Shoots 29 people and 11 of them are dead. That's the world we live in, folks. It's a terrible world, but it's where we live. You said in the beginning, people need Jesus. You need Jesus. Well, guess whose job it is to share it with them? It's yours. And it's mine. If we don't get out there and follow the commandment that Jesus told us to follow, the world's going to continue to get worse. But perhaps a bigger problem for you is, and me, is by not following the command, we're sinning. Because the scripture doesn't say, hey, if you got nothing better to do on Friday, go talk to some people about me. It doesn't say that. The scripture doesn't say, well, as long as you don't have a headache, you've had 8 hours of sleep and you got a full belly, you should go tell somebody about me. It doesn't say that. It says, go. Go. Anybody ever been told that by the parents? Go take out the garbage. Go wash the dishes. Go clean your room. What happened when you didn't do that? That's what happened to me. I don't know what happened to you. Jesus is saying, go. Get out there. Go do my work. Tell them about me so they can be saved just like you're saved. Get out there. Go. If we as Christians have forsaken our duty to go and tell people, go and tell the world about sharing the gospel, then all we're going to become is keepers of a Christian aquarium. I mean, I'm serious. People know how to take care of people in their own churches. But the world's a lot bigger than the little fishbowl we're sitting in right now. Amen. And the other thing is in Mark 1:17, Jesus is trying to teach them to be fishers of men. You see any water? You got to go. We got to go out there. We're going to be on our way to spiritual death. And so is the world if we don't start focusing on our communities and trying to bring them back to spiritual life. Romans 1:16 says it like this. For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentiles. If we don't share the gospel, the churches will fossilize. They'll fossilize. They'll just be useless. But more importantly, people will be lost. Think of your worst enemy right now. Your worst enemy, the person that just makes you so mad. Think about that person. Can you imagine them screaming in torment in a lake that has nothing but fire and burning? I've been burned before. It hurts. I had third-degree burns on my hands. I could take cookie sheet out of the oven, Mexican food off the plate at Casa Ramos. It doesn't matter. It burns my fingers, but I don't feel it. These people are going to feel that for the rest of their life. But even worse than that, everything that's good about our world comes from God. God says every good gift is from your Father in heaven above. Can you imagine living in a world without good? That's where that person's going to be. It's not about who you like and who you don't like. That doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. What matters is doing what God told you to do. And that's go. To get out there to talk to these people. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him, meaning Christ, of whom they've never even heard of? Because it's our job to get out there and talk to him. It's our job to get out there and share with him. Well, some Christians say, well, I don't have the gift to do that. I can't do that. That's a pastor's job. That's your job. You get out there. You tell them about Jesus. I do. But it's not just my job. It's yours too. It's yours too. People say, well, I'm afraid to get rejected. You know, you're a pastor. You probably never get rejected. Oh, I probably get rejected a lot more than you could ever imagine. Get rejected at home by my wife after the service. I get rejected by people slamming their doors in my face. I'm always getting rejected. You just get used to it after a while. Don't worry about getting rejected. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. You're doing what God told you to do. And then you say, well, what if they ask me a question about the Bible and I don't know? Do you think I have the Bible memorized? If you do, you come into the wrong church. I don't have that whole thing memorized. They may ask me a question I don't understand too. Ariel is the worst. She is. She asks me all kinds of questions that are so hard to understand. I have to go back and do all kinds of research and figure out stuff. And she's not happy with a general answer. Well, are you sure that's what the translation meant when it was in Latin? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, sure you do. Part of the reason I've grown so much is because of those questions. People will ask you questions you don't know the answer to. So what? Put your pride aside. Say, I'm not sure about that, Brother Bill or Sister Joyce, but I'll look at it and I'll get back to you. Most of you in this room have probably been alive longer than I have. You probably know the Bible maybe even better than I do. But whether you know the answer or not, that's just an excuse. You see, we as Christians, we want life to be cushy. That's what we want. We want to live our life. We want our family to be blessed. We want to be blessed, and that's it. Well, that's really not what the Christian life is all about. Sure, God blesses us and loves us, but our job is to go out and to make disciples and talk to people and love them. You know, there's one thing you can't really mess up as a Christian. Can't mess up. And that's sharing God's word. You can't mess it up. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." You see, as long as you're sharing God's word with somebody, it doesn't matter if you're nervous, it doesn't matter if you're tired, God's word will accomplish what God's word is supposed to accomplish. The reason it's hard for us to witness is because we're worried. What will people think about me? How will this affect me? How bad will I look when I don't know the answer? It's all about me. It's the wrong answer. It's not supposed to be about you. It's supposed to be about Christ. Bless you. And so we have to go forth and do what God tells us to do. You can't mess up sharing God's word. He will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. We got to let the devil stop putting those excuses into our mind and just be bold for Christ and go forward. We got to go out there and talk to people about Jesus. It should be part of our daily life. It shouldn't be a chore. It should be something we love to do. Whether it's the unbelievers, whether it's the atheists or Mormons or Muslims or Jehovah's Witnesses or Jews or whatever. As a Christian, it's our job to go advance the kingdom of Christ. It's not an option. He said, go. So let me ask, do you think you have what you need to go witness to people? You do, because he said, go. It's not some special gift that you need. No. He said to all of us, go. People need to know about Christ in our world today. I look at the news and it makes me sad. I want to see some fireman saving a kitty out of a tree, you know? I'd be happy to read about that. I would.
They don't do that no more, do they?
I'm sick and tired of reading about people getting shot going to school. People walking out of a grocery store getting shot. People coming into a church and shooting people. Yeah. What is going on? We're going to have kids. Keenan, what is his life going to be like? What is he going to see in his life? What are his kids going to see?
Scary thought.
We're here to make a difference. Are you making the difference that God put you here to make? Many people's eternal souls are in danger. Share your testimony. Tell people what Christ has done for you. People are looking for answers today, and people need the Lord in their life. If you'll just be faithful to share something, God will make a difference in your life and in their life. I guarantee it. As I get ready to close today, I put something in your bulletins that I made. I'd like you to look at that for a second. Josh, I'd like you to bring it up on the screen. I put together this little handout for you. It's a little area.
We ain't got it.
You don't have it in your bulletin?
No, sir.
Well, Josh, will you grab them one?
Look at the screen. No, I got this. Here you go, Mike.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay, here
you go. Thank you.
You look in your bulletins today, you'll see a handout that shows the area that God has blessed us with for our influence. That's our influence, our influential area. This is the homes of the people that live and regularly attend at our Sunrise Field Baptist Church. Now, God has blessed us with all kinds of families in Emporia, Kansas. Praise the Lord for that. He's given us families that live south, about 47 miles a year, in Eureka, Kansas. You'll see the picture of the church on your diagram, and then you'll see Eureka down there. He's given us a family that lives about 92 miles north of the church in Holton, Kansas. We have a family that drives 18 miles northwest from Americus, Kansas. We have one that lives 22 miles away west of the church in Strong City, Kansas. And we even have a family in Neosho Rapids, Kansas, that lives about 16 miles east of the church. When you look at that picture in your bulletin, when you look at that map, you'll see our church has families that regularly attend, and our area covers over 2,254 square miles.
Wow.
That's 1,442,656 acres. That's the influence range that Jesus has trusted you and me with. Church, the influence God has blessed us with spans over 34 zip codes and an estimated population of 183,604 people. 183,604 people. I know we can only fit 90 in here, but if we bring them in, God will give us the reason to expand. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but when I started putting this together, this is how the whole sermon came together. I built that little map thing first. God said, "Do you know the influence your church has that I blessed you with, Pastor?" So do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Are you out there witnessing to those people? Are you sharing them about the love I have for them? Look at this area your church has been blessed with. What are you doing with what I gave you? That prayer answer came to me when I was praying about our new building. God said, "You want a new building? What are you doing with all this area I gave you already? Why do you need a new building?" We got a witness, guys. There's people hurting out there. Are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? 183,000 people. It's a lot of people. God didn't build this church that we're sitting in here today and have our families coming from all these different areas for no reason. He wants us to get out there and make disciples. He wants us to go out there and talk to them about who Jesus is. He wants us to share the gospel. And he wants us to be a light in the communities and the areas we live and work in. So church, I don't know about you, but I want to get out there and witness. I want to get out there and give people hope that just because the world looks terrible on the news and the things you read in the newspaper, well, we serve a Jesus that can take care of all those problems. Amen. I want to start praying more with people. I want to start sharing more with people about how Jesus can help them. I want to encourage neighbors and families and people we work with and strangers on the street. You know, the Bible says it's simple like this in Matthew 9:37. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful." 183,604 people. "But the workers are few." I'm convicted. Church, let's get out there and share the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please stand with me and bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, people need you. People need you, Lord, and you sent us to be able to go and to tell others about you. Lord, give us the encouragement and the strength to be able to do those things, God. We want to see people's lives change, Lord. But so often we just sit here, Lord, and we say, "Boy, that was a good sermon. Thank you, God, for talking to me, but I don't know." You forget about it tomorrow. Don't forget about this. Look at that big map. Hang it on your fridge. Remind yourself, this is a big area of people that need the Lord. Now, sure, some of them go to church. Sure, some of them have a relationship with Jesus. But I'm sure there's a lot out there that don't. People need the Lord just as bad now as they needed him then. God, help us, Lord, to understand the urgency about this. Turn on the channel of our news or look in our newspaper and see where the world is going. Lord, the Christian have to rise. We got to rise from the dead, Lord, and we got to go out there and we got to witness and we got to share the love of Christ, God. There's no reason that every church in Emporia shouldn't be full to the brim with people standing outside waiting to get in, just like they will be at the restaurants after service. Because we have something better to offer than any restaurant could in food, Lord. We have you, the eternal life, the bread of life, the water. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us, Lord. Put a burden on every one of our hearts today to share our faith with others, to share our testimony, to tell people, God, the great things you've done in our life, Lord. And let's watch this world change as we serve you. Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to come and pray, maybe there's somebody who's going through a hard time and they need encouragement from you, God. Maybe there's somebody here that says, Lord, I know I could be doing better. Lord, help me. Give me the opportunity to witness. Give me the boldness. I don't know what reasons you might need to pray, but if you need to pray at this time, you're welcome to come as we have this time of invitation and we have this song on our projectors called People Need the Lord. You're welcome to come and pray or sing the song at this time. Please do.
Hear the words of life. Only.